Blog Talk Radio.
All right, y'all. How y'all doing today? This is Arthur Joseph Smith coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Today I'll be talking to you guys about the distortion of the Bible. I noticed that as time has gone on, I study the Bible, and I begin to realize there are certain things, distinct things, that have been out of place. Now, everybody's saying, wait a minute, now you ain't going to tell me the Bible wrong. No, I'm not saying that. If you read just a little short caption for the show, I'm talking about interpolers and extrapolers. I understand what has happened. I mean, it's a great thing that's happened because it has distorted a lot of views of the Bible. And I'll get into this show and just kind of tell you a little about myself. If this is the first time in the show, I'm the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, Caliphate Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. These are the books that I have wrote, and they're now at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Amazon.com. And what I try to do is keep people on informed on scriptural-based stuff as well as natural stuff. Some people, when they look at church and people of belief, they seem to think it's like more of a talk, song, and a dance as you see going on in these buildings today. But really, my belief system is a belief system that involves my very perception on how I perceive things and how I think. It is a way of life. It's not a talk. It's not a song. And it's not a dance. It is an actual relationship with God. So as I was opening up, I was telling you about how I study the Bible. I take my time out and I put much effort into it. That's how those three books come about. It was a blessing from God to understand the vision of Daniel. That was my very first book, was The Revival of the Roman Empire. It is a part about the rise and fall of world government. Okay. And so in this book, I tell people about, you know, just break down Daniel's vision and bring it into a clearer state. You have so many interpretations, but not a revelation of the book of Daniel. And now my latest adventure, I'm working on my next book, and I'll let you guys know about that in a little bit. And it's going to be a great book, just talking about the mystery symbols and all of that. But basically, well, as I'm studying the Bible, and I begin to look at what Christ was talking about versus what we hear today. And I find it very amazing that the stuff we hear today and what we see today really has nothing to do with Christ. People get up every Sunday, and that's normally the day they're going to definitely be in church. They go on Sunday, and then you got the times of the year, which is Easter and Christmas. They'll show up for that. But when they go to church, they do not hear the real message of Christ, nor do they understand what they're doing. They're there. And they think it's going to go, they hit, listen to this man dance around the floor and behind his podium, screaming and hooping and hollering, peeping and muttering, which they call tongues, making up tongues as they go. And they think that's what church is about. Well, today I'm here to dispute some of this because of the simple fact that the word church, if you follow it out in the Bible, the word church was added around the 1500s when they start translating the Bible into English. It was done by the Roman Catholic Church. They took a word from, replaced the word in the Bible, and I never really say correctly, 100% right, but a word such as kakuskus, which is a Greek word, K-I-R, and I'm not going to try to spell because I'm not sitting here looking at it, but that word kakuskus was translated for a word is called ecclesia. They took the word ecclesia, which cannot be translated into church out of the Bible. It can be translated, really means called out ones. You know, so in the beginning, when the verse Bible first got came along, and you're looking at a Dewey Bible and Martin Luther and all this guy, he was one of the first ones to translate it. And when he translated the Bible, the word they had for church was one time called assembly or congregation, but it was never used as the word church. People miss when they would use the word church. What got me onto this word church was I was looking at every time Christ had ever talked, that from the very beginning of his ministry, What did he teach? Everybody always look at it and say, well, the church. He never said nothing about a church. Okay, he said, well, his very first message, which starts in chapter 4, after the tempter, the devil, had came and tried to evilly persuade him, his very first message that he gave was simply, in verse 17, for the time Jesus began to preach, and when the start of his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was talking about a government system. And I'm not talking about like we see in the day. These are all corrupt. All these government systems are under Satan. He was talking about world dominance. He was talking about when he came back and usurped all the governments of the world, that he will rule the world spiritually as well as in the physical sense. We're here. We're in the second world. We're in the millennium. If we're not here, then we're waiting judgment. If you died in these times under the grace of Christ, if you resurrected with that first crew, as it talks about in chapter 19 of Revelation, then you don't have nothing to worry about. You'll reign with Christ. And their reign is 1,000 years. But he said he never said nothing about a church. So when they translate the word and took that word out, I'm going to pull that word up on my computer because I can say better. It's like a couscous heart. I'm not a Greek scholar, first of all, so understand where I'm coming from. I'm not a Greek scholar whatsoever, but I do know how to read English and understand when they break down words and explain them. And so basically the word ecclesia, you cannot translate that. The word they took, you can't translate it into church. The word they took, the word kakusku, was a word that means Lord or ruler's house. When nobody understands that, really, when you begin to look at the church in the way it was established by the Catholic Church in the Roman Empire, with dealing with Constantine and all that, it is really a government entity, because when you begin to hear the true message of Christ, then you have to come out of this world. You begin to understand the corruption of this world system. You begin to understand that these politicians are no more than crooks, slanderers, and liars. As we even look at Trump, who cannot even get his facts right. You know, this one big circus that you have when you're dealing with Trump. And, you know, then you look at the next slideshow of all of this government system that we're talking about is the fact that they're setting it up as like where Hillary will walk in the White House in a landslide if there's to be another election. Now, that's the question, people. Is there going to be an election this year? Or are we going to have some catastrophic event that keeps Obama in office? You know, people don't believe that, but I believe there is a conspiracy in works. There is a conspiracy to usurp this government. He'd go ahead and take over. It's been set up in such a way that he only needs a couple of more moves, and then he can basically cancel his constitution and declare himself king of America. See, so when I'm looking at all this stuff right here, I realize the church is an entity of the government. It has been set up by Satan. Now, however it worked, because I went to church at one time in my life, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38, as the Bible says, in John 3:3-5, except a man be born again. Notice this. He cannot see the kingdom of God. See the kingdom of God. Notice that the word kingdom didn't say you couldn't see the church. And then John 3:3. Then John 3:5 says, except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we have a problem. And then say you can't enter the church, it says you can't enter into the kingdom of God. That's where the issue lies at. We're talking about a kingdom, but when you go to church, you're being fed some pie in the sky theory. What they do, they say, hey, you got to pay tithes. You got to make sure you be on time with this. We have a building fund and all these things to extrapolate money out of your pocket. And when Jesus, they took and tried to trap Jesus, think about this. They asked Jesus about, they think they should put usury to Caesar. And Jesus told them, hand him the money. And he asked them, who was the inscription of? And he said, it is Caesar. He says, well, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. So do you think me paying a tithe, helping build in the building fund, is going to make me have a relationship with God? Or is that going to cancel my relationship with God because I have not given you my money? So when you, if we're talking about God and we're serving the true and living God, our faith should be according to the word of God. It should not only be just a talk, but it should be a way of life and a way we perceive things. When we get in the Bible, we can see that because you're talking about the spiritual. What meant the word church stick out to me? Because I continue to read and study, and I realize, as the Bible said, the spirit of truth should guide you into all truth. The Bible never said people couldn't tamper, because that was the scriptures I gave also in my little head in there. You know, it says if any man add or subtract, so we know they had extrapolers and interpolers and extrapolers, people adding and people subtracting. Okay? So they add the word church to distort your view of what is really being taught. And I said, they said, render to Caesar what is Caesar. So you go into church and you feel, like I deal with people all the time, they feel they need change. You know, they're on their way to church. They got to pay that pimp up there. And I'm not saying all the places are bad because, like I said, I went in there and I was baptized. And they said the man's born of water and the spirit. So I went in there in one of the assemblies. We didn't have to call that a church, but part of the kingdom of God. So I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I followed that formula that was given through the scriptures. Okay. And then I received the Holy Ghost. I became a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus' blood was applied to my life in that water baptism, because in Revelations 1 and 5, he said he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when you know where the remission of sin is, you know where the blood is. And then it gave Acts 4 and 12, said, neither is our salvation under any other name whereby we must be saved. So the name was applied to my life. I took the Lord's name on me. The blood's applied to my life. And then one day I was sitting in church and I actually received the Holy Ghost, but I didn't go into no babbling tongue. I magnified the name of Jesus, as it says in Isaiah 12, people. I said, thank you, Jesus, deep down inside. So I know I'm kind of tossing back and forth, but Acts 4 and 12 tells you what is your reasonable service. What do you owe God? Do you owe him your money, as you're hearing today? Do you owe him a tenth of your income? That you so feeling if you give him, you're going to automatically have more money, you're going to be blessed and stuff like that. Them using the Old Testaments to your ignorance. That I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is Romans 12 and 1. I want to give you guys some scriptures, and I just really have been gone from these shows, and I'm starting back up on them. I want them to be more proof. I want you guys to get the knowledge of the word of God, what is really going on. As the Spirit leads me, it should guide you in all truth. So if you tell me a religion has some truth, you know, then there's a problem, because the Holy Ghost is supposed to guide you in all truth. That's why I understand the word church don't belong. But back to chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Where is the dollar sign? He said he presents your body a living sacrifice. In other words, crucifying the flesh. Okay? And it tells you in Romans 6, it says, what shall we say in verse 1? Then what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore are we buried with him by baptism into death, and that the likeness that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, the power by the Spirit, the Father, and his authority, even so we walk in the newness of life. Okay, it goes on to say in verse 5, for if we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man was crucified, living sacrifice. Romans 12, crucified with him, that the body of sin, that unregulated mind, that rebellious state of mind, under the influence of Satan, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, being risen from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion, had no more control over him. Okay? Understand that. It shouldn't be under the control of sin. Understand what you're doing, with how this thing really works. It is a condition of mind. It is a way of thinking. It is not some just dance around the church and feel like you gave them some money, so therefore I'm good. Because it talks about your reasonable service, and that's what I'm getting at. This is what your reasonable service is. It says, for in that we died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. If you've been baptized in Jesus, this is it. This is your way of life. It said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, to that state of mind, to the influence of Satan, that he shouldn't have dominion over you, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion, verse 14, dominion over you, shouldn't have control over your life. And ye are not under the law. You know, you have been born again, but under grace. In other words, the power and authority of God should be reigning in your life. You are no longer controlled by the elements of this world. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, your servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Okay? He said, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, from your mind, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, that teaching of water baptism in Jesus' name, becoming a part of the kingdom of God. So we see it says this is your reasonable service is not to obey sin in your life, the devil, and how he influences the world, the transgender garbage. Talking about his bigotry. What is bigotry? When you begin to legalize sin, this nation is dead, and it only has a matter of time before all of it hits the fan. Talking about we have to a neutral gender bathroom. They need the neutral gender on into hell. They have gotten so out of the way that they're forcing you to respect their sin, not just respect it, but to take part of it, submit to it. That's too much, people. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy means you don't participate in this foolishness out here. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. They ain't looking for your money. God ain't looking for your money. He's looking for your obedience to his word. And be not conformed. Look at it. Be not conformed to this world, But ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let's look at this, what he's telling us, because it talks about something that we're seeing. He says, and he talks about Babylon the Great. I'm only going to read one verse, and maybe I'll make a show talking about this, really breaking down the contents of this Babylon the Great. But he says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, come out of America, their way of thinking, their form of life, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, her lawless actions, regulated by the devil, and that you receive not of her plagues, God, divine judgment that is going to sit upon this country. They're playing. They're thumbing their nose at God. They're trying to make the kids cross-dress, putting new gender, what they call it, unisex. When I was young, when they first started trying to bring this in, unisex clothing for children. You know, we're under attack, the true believer, but we're about the kingdom of God. This is not our world anyway. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we are part of the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, you see the kingdom of God come into existence on earth. Okay, let's look at Luke 17:17-20. Let's look at what he says. It says, and if so, if they're talking about the stuff about church, explain this to me. Where is this at? Where does that word really exist when you start looking at what Christ was talking? It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance. As you see in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, it says the house was all, it says it came a sign of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Everybody became filled of the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And you go on to find out it's not a babbling tongue, but it was a language, because every man heard them speaking in their own language. And this is paraphrasing, but this is in Acts 2. So you see the kingdom of God come into existence. The Pharisees asked him when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them and said, take heed, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance. A little bit ahead of myself, but that goes with Acts 2. So the kingdom of God ushered in on that day. Neither shall thou say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. When you get the Holy Ghost, you are a part of a whole other kingdom government system, which is under God. It has nothing to do with this world. All we do is be a light, witness to them, and warn them when we can about the sins they're getting into and the death that they're putting up on themselves. Okay? And then you look at Revelations 1 and 12, you see what happens when Satan fell. He's down here with us. Okay? You look at what is verse 7 in chapter 12, and this is when the kingdom of God came. He says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. When did salvation come to the human family? That starts in Acts 2, to the Jews first. That same salvation plan, water baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's Acts 2. And then that's Acts 10 when they became Christian. That was the apostolates, the Jews and the Greeks. Both got the same plan of salvation for the whole family. Now has come salvation. Okay? Okay, so it says, now has come salvation and the strength and Holy Ghost and the kingdom of our God. So the kingdom of God took birth on the day of Pentecost. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by that water baptism in Jesus' name, by the words of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down on you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. See, he knows his time is running out. And in the process of that, he is trying to kill as many of us as he possibly can. He has distorted the truth. He's literally distorted the truth. He has people go in the Bible and put the word church in there when it's called out one. You're called out of the world to be a part of God's coming kingdom. You know, before then he's even gone even farther to emulate or imitate God by bringing about a new world order that's going to be run by the false prophet and the Antichrist. Okay, bringing one global system, one economic system all together. Okay, that's the counterfeit new world order. When Christ comes through the sky, we're going to know. We're not going to be confused. It's not going to be some man telling me he's over there in the Middle East. Because I'm going to be able to look up with the human family and see Christ coming from the sky. If I'm dead, I'm going to come out of my grave. If I'm alive, I'm going to meet him in the cloud. And like the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth, come right back down here and take the kingdom from the devil and his cohorts. See, that's the true salvation. That's the true gospel. What we hear in the day in these places they call churches is no more than a government entity that's keeping your mind shackled from the truth. That man is telling you you can't get the truth without him. You got to have him to have truth. So this is the stuff you're up against. This is the stuff you're dealing with. Okay, you got to learn how to live outside of that box. You got to understand what you're talking about is a way of life. It is a way of thinking. Okay, it ain't a song and a dance, and it's not paying somebody to deceive you. A building fund, kingdom building, as they call it, they don't have nothing to do with the kingdom, claiming they're witnesses of God and never been baptized in Jesus' name, not filled with the Holy Ghost. He says you should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1, Luke 24. So these people don't have that. And then they say, what message can they bring you? They say there's some truth and some lie. How is that? You know, since when is there some truth, some lie? That's a problem with that thought altogether. You know, the Bible says in chapter 16 of John, the Gospel of John, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he shall guide you in all truth. Not some truth, not a partial truth. See, there's a problem with that thinking. When you understand that he's going to guide you in all truth, that means you will be able to see. If you catch stuff in the Bible, you won't get, oh, the Bible's not real. No, you just caught that extra polar, just like that word was added. You know, I'm not going on into believing something that I can't prove scripturally. And there's nowhere in there you see it. You look at that, you realize it's been taken out of context. And so that's what we're dealing with, people. And I start back up my shows for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to have to keep y'all posted. The way I'm going to do this is because the kind of schedule I got, it's going to fluctuate some days. My time might not always be the same, but I'm going to try to be consistent with Monday being at 12 o'clock. I'm thinking more on the lines of 11 o'clock for the rest of the week. Friday, I won't have a show. Saturday, I am going to have a show. I'm on Central Time, people. And you know, Pacific, 2 hours ahead. Eastern Time is an hour ahead, you know. So we're looking at that time, and I ask you guys to come out and join these shows. Bring me a little pen and paper. So I'm going to give you guys scriptures for you to go look at the cold heart facts, okay, and get into what this truth is about. Get a new way of thinking. Come out of her. Come out of this dying world, this dying nation, because that's all you're looking at. You're looking at slow death take place. And you guys out there, I got books out there that are very informative. Go out there to get those too. The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, you know, History of the Church and the Rise of the Cult, The Devil Workshop, and The Caliphate, Rise of the Temple Mount. Okay, The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. And it's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble Books and Media. Go out there and get those books, people. Let's get about the plan of God. And I thank you guys for coming out once again. This is Revolutionary Gospel News. Have a great evening, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.